Simply put, her job is to fight anti-Americanism, promote American culture, and do battle with the ideology of radical Islam. But Mona El-Tahawi, Egyptian journalist with the London-based pan-Arab newspaper Sharq al-Awsat, says the task facing Karen Hughes and the United States is huge. And it starts with careful listening.
Public diplomacy sphere has a long way to go because there is such a huge amount of mistrust regarding the intentions, particularly of the U.S., but of the West in general in the Muslim world. So I think if the West is seeing as listening to Muslim concerns, as kind of trying to reach out to understand why so many people are upset at U.S. foreign policy or Western foreign policy in general, and asking them, what can we do to encourage your efforts? It all starts by a real dialogue rather than as a monologue, which is what the Muslim world has felt.
Mona El-Tahawi notes that former White House official Dina Habib Powell is now serving as Karen Hughes' assistant in the sphere of public diplomacy.
She is an Egyptian-American, which is good because people see that the U.S. administration is including Arab Americans, but she's not Muslim. It's not a concern to me, but I know that many in the Muslim world will say, well, they couldn't even find someone who's a Muslim who could stand out there and listen to our concerns, because those kind of symbols really are important today, where, you know, you only have a few minutes to convey your message.
But Akbar Ahmed, Pakistani journalist and former ambassador to Britain, says the issue of Ms. Powell's not being a Muslim is not a critical factor.
I don't think being a Muslim or being a Christian matters very much, because some extraordinarily fine people who understand the Muslim world are not Muslim. You get some of the finest scholars who may be Jewish, who may be Christian, who indeed may be secular, who understand the Muslim world.
According to Akbar Ahmed, to be effective in a post-9/11 environment, U.S. public diplomacy needs to be supplemented with expanded interfaith activity.
Just think about it this way. Suppose there weren't these extraordinary figures trying to create interfaith dialogue. Things could have been much worse. That is the point I want to emphasize. You're talking of 1.3 billion people. Rightly or wrongly, a lot of Muslims blame directly or indirectly America for what's happening in the Muslim world. Hatred for America is at an all-time peak. And I ask myself, why has America, as a people, once been so loved and now is being so disliked? And the answer is that there is a debate which rightly or wrongly casts America in a certain role, and that has to be corrected. I think it's been a great tragedy that it's been 4 years since 9/11, and that public diplomacy, which was such an important plank of the war on terror, has been such a disappointment.
Palestinian journalist Daoud Kattab, director of the Institute of Modern Media at Al-Quds University in Jerusalem, says that if public diplomacy is to succeed, U.S. policy goals need to be implemented. For example, a two-state solution in the Middle East.
If you would take the statements by the U.S. at face value, they're great. But when you look at the reality on the ground, you'll see the big separation. And the biggest problem the U.S. has is its credibility. Either you tone down and don't raise the hopes of people, or if you have to find a way to make sure that you can deliver what you promised.
Daoud Kattab says he is guardedly optimistic about President Bush's choice of Karen Hughes, who assumes office on August 15th as his new public diplomacy advisor.
I know that she is a powerful woman, and she's a very good communicator, and she has the ear of the president, which is good. But I don't know from her background whether she knows much about the Middle East. It's naive to expect public diplomacy to work alone. It has to be done in concert with the realities on the ground.
A major part of the task of public diplomacy, Akbar Ahmed says, is to encourage the voices of moderate Muslims.
This must happen as a priority, because public diplomacy really means changing hearts and minds. And that is something that's going to take a lot of effort, a lot of imagination, and a lot of compassion in the end. Remember, the Muslim world is at this moment thirsty for this kind of reaching out of the hand of friendship. This is what public diplomacy at its finest is. I think it's long overdue, and I congratulate the initiatives being taken now for public diplomacy to be revamped.
The journalists say the Muslim world presents special challenges for the Bush administration, but they are pleased that Washington seems to recognize the gravity of the problem. For International Press Club, I'm Judith Latham.